Amen. But so thankful for what he did for our young people. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful when you see things come to fruition. Praise God. You see things begin to finally transpire and happen. Amen. That God's been moving towards for a long time sometimes. Yeah. That's why we never want to give up. We never want to give in. We don't want to throw in the towel. We just got to realize the Lord has something, amen, for us continually. Amen. I've been pondering, and this is not on my teaching tonight, but just something that's coming up in the wings. I've been pondering about the tabernacle, the type, the shadow, everything about that tabernacle, everything about that form of worship was a shadow. We're going to read a little bit about that tonight. It was a shadow of things to come. And there are places that we can go in God to find needs met. Different needs require different places. I'll stop right there. Amen. Because it depends on what we need, where we would go in the tabernacle, and what would transpire there. Praise God. So that's something in the wings that will be coming your way soon. Praise God. But tonight, we're back to the Serious Service Institute. And I want to deal tonight, and it's kind of amazing to me, even throughout the 39 years I've been saved, how God just moves in the direction that he's planning on going. Whoops. Servant's perfection. Whoops. I can do that one again. It won't bother me at all. I'll just have to do them both tonight. Sound the alarm in Zion. Brother Pepper, Brett Lucas said, you preach up here. He's right. It's not a problem. I can imagine the Apostle Paul. I can just imagine the Apostle Paul. You realize he preached all night one time? Even had some fallout from it. Go look that one up, see if you can find out what that means. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he just prayed him back to life and kept on preaching. Praise God. Yeah, bring him back to life. All right. Praise the Lord. Did you find it, Brother Lucas? Okay. All right. I'm trying to show forth patience. It's a virtue that you and I need abundantly of in these last days. Especially if we deal with young people. There it is, a servant's perfection. How many's heard that saying? Well, nobody's perfect. Why not? Because the Bible says you're supposed to be. I was looking up some things as I was gathering this together, and I was looking up for some quotes for perfection, and I got to looking at all these quotes of all these people, and I thought, wow. Of course, everything I pulled up really wasn't Christian authors. It was just people of the world. You'd be surprised all the different thoughts on the word perfection. But we're going to take a hold of what the Bible has to say about it and realizing that's the thought that counts, is what God's Word says about our perfection. And, of course, I've already filled in Serious Servants Institute. We're just going to go right through and go right down to perfection. And we're going to start there at perfection. I just got to give this to you while it's on my mind, because I may forget it as I move on through this. Vince Lombardi. I don't know. Some may know who he is. Some may not. It's an age thing, that you're giving away your age if you know who that is. And he made a statement about perfection. He said, "Perfection may never be obtained, but in the pursuit of it, you will always find excellence." And I thought, well, that was pretty good. He was just a football coach for the Green Bay Packers, if I remember correctly. Amen. So he had some little bit of insight there into perfecting things. You may not ever get it completely perfected, but in the pursuit of that, you will obtain excellence. And so I want you to kind of remember that here in the definition of perfection, the state of being perfect or complete, so that nothing requisite is wanting. Perfection in a system of morals. And this is not in your handout, but a good word for this would be integrity. Integrity. Moral perfection is the complete possession of all moral excellence, as in the Supreme Being, or the possession of such moral qualities and virtues as a thing is capable of. So keep that in mind. You know, perfection, one of the definitions is just as much as you can. Because nowhere in the vocabulary of the child of God is "I can't." Remember Philippians? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So, you know, there's nothing there in our vocabulary is not "I can't." That's not a Christian's vocabulary. Now, that may be the old man, and maybe the carnal man or the sin nature of man, but that new creature knows that he can if he keeps it up and keeps trying. Amen. And so that's you know, perfection. I'm not about it. It's the state of being that, you know, well, let's just continue on with the definitions here. Quality, endowment, or acquirement completely excellent or of great worth. So perfection is excellence. It's of great worth. An inherent or essential attribute of supreme or infinite excellence. So we're getting the understanding from this definition of perfection that it's moving us towards excellence, which is really just righteousness, holiness, godliness. I mean, that's the excellence that we're in pursuit of. As a child of God, exactness, as to imitate a model to perfection. Perfection will take effort. That's not in your little notes there, but it is something you can write on the sidelines there if you want. Perfection will take effort. It is not an option. Well, by the time we get done with these scriptures, you're going to realize perfection is not an option. It is what we are daily in pursuit of. And while we're in pursuit of perfection, we will be victorious. We will be overcomers. We will be children of God. We will be the light to shine in the midst of a dark world. Because we are after something excellent. Hallelujah. We are, what the Spirit say to us tonight? To seek the giver and not the gift. Why? Because he's excellent. And that's where excellence is found. Hallelujah. As I begin to seek Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, King of my life, Master of my life, Savior of my life, High Priest of my life, as I'm in pursuit of Jesus Christ, I will find excellence. I will find perfection. In other words, I will find some completeness in my life. That's what that word really means. It means a completeness. And so we see then from the definition of perfection, a serious servant is in pursuit of perfection. Now, Hebrews 7 and 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Basically, if you will, in a nutshell, the door has been opened wide, and the invitation has been given, come. Come unto me. Hallelujah. And so we see then the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. Of course, that is speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I put these scriptures here to help us remember and realize that perfection is not going to come by just a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not where perfection is going to come from. Perfection's going to come as I draw nigh to God, as I begin to seek God. Hallelujah. As I begin to let God have His way with me. We sing about it. We preach about it. But it is something that God continually rolls around us and continually talks to us about, because it's one of those things that it really, really, we would just like to put it to the side and just... Well, we'll get to it here in a moment, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's move on. Hebrews 10 and 1. For the law having a shadow, there's what I was talking about earlier, the shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. See, this is why the law was the schoolmaster. This is why the law was showing what was holy, what was righteous, what was good, what was expected by God. The law is the revealing of what sin is. And so it never was intended for the law to be the final step. The final step was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. Luke 8:14. It says, and that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit unto perfection. This portion of Scripture comes from the story of the seed and the sower. And so I put this Scripture here to help us perceive and understand that if there is no perfection, that means we have allowed cares and riches and pleasures of life to occupy our minds, and thus we have not moved deeper into the kingdom of God and deeper into the will of God for our lives, and thus there's no fruit unto perfection. There's no transformation. There's no change. There's no being conformed to the image of Christ. We've got a lot of people that say, oh, yeah, I got saved, but they're not living for Jesus one moment of any day. They're not going on unto perfection. So the Scripture tells us, Matthew 5 and 48, Jesus Christ, I mean, you know, if you've got a red letter edition of God's Word, you're going to find out this is what Jesus said. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So he made that statement, and he was, of course, almost all the teachings that he gave unto the people in that day and that hour just blew. You know, because they had the same mentality as a lot of folks today. Well, ain't nobody perfect. Well, that's because they're not living for Jesus. Hello? I'm not talking about that we won't have imperfections. I'm talking about we have commitment, we have consecration, we have dedication, we have effort going forth. Hallelujah. And when there is an imperfection or a failure, we begin to immediately try to work on that. How many, if you have a flat tire, just keep driving on it? Now, sometimes you have to, and you run your tire, don't you? But usually, if you have a flat tire, you stop and change the tire. You put forth effort to change the circumstance and the situation because you know you can't go on like this. Wow. In our spiritual well-being, sometimes we got to fix the flat. Sometimes we got to change the tire. Sometimes we got to wake up and realize, whoa, I've went way too far like this, and it's time that I get changed and transformed by the power of an almighty God. We've already heard testimony about that tonight. Hallelujah. He's a healing God. He's a delivering God. But he's not going to do either one of those things until we ask and pursue. And so we see, he said, be thou perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Hebrews 6 and 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, or faith towards God, or the doctrine of baptisms, or the laying on of hands, or the resurrection of the dead, or eternal judgment. Let's get serious about serving God. Let's go on to perfection. That's what that is talking about. And yes, you're saved. Yes, you've been washed in the blood. You've been baptized in water. Hallelujah. Praise God. You have started now. You know judgment's coming. You know about the rapture. Now let's talk about how we're living. That's what he's saying. Now let's go on to perfection and start dealing with the way we're living our lives. Yes, we've been born again. Yes, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, we've been baptized in water. But now let's go on unto perfection. That's what he's talking about. I thought it was very funny because I started reading, because this is the statement that he said. Okay, we're going to leave all this behind and we're going to go on to perfection. This is why I like kind of like Paul. Well, chapter 13, he finally lets us know what perfection's all about. Seven chapters later, he finally tells us we're going on now to perfection. You know, he starts talking about Christ and what he did and how he replaced. And, oh my, I mean, he talks about all kinds. He got off on a great, big, wonderful rabbit trail. And then in chapter 13, he finally then shows us and begins to talk about what this perfection is all about. You can go read it later. Don't read it tonight. But go read it later, because that answers on unto perfection. He starts talking about how we're supposed to be living and what we're supposed to be forsaking and leaving behind and picking up. He goes through a wonderful exhortation of Christ and the power of Christ and what he fulfilled and how he replaced the Old Testament and now how he's the high priest, and it's all wonderful things. Hallelujah. Talks about, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God, and we got to believe it. And then he goes through the heroes of faith, and wow, praise God, talk about preaching. Woo! Hallelujah. So it took him seven chapters to get to the next phase of unto perfection. So I don't feel so bad. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. So here we are. We're going on unto perfection. So once again, I want to remind us, it's not an option. It's the next step. It's the next step in my relationship with God. Amen. In Psalms 18:32, it says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. So in other words, when God is moving and working wonderfully in my life and I am giving him full access unto my life, he's going to strengthen me and he's going to make my way perfect. What's that mean? Well, that means he's going to help me conform to the image of Christ. He's going to help me imitate Christ. Not in a gesture way, but in a dedicated, consecrated, sincere way. I want to be just like Jesus. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect. And what that's talking about is the commandments of God. Not necessarily the ceremonial law, but the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. That it's perfect. converting the soul. Here's where transformation comes forth into my life. It's from the Word of God. Converting means changing the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And wisdom, we're going to launch off into some wisdom, I do believe, on our discipleship night, if I remember correctly. Am I remembering correctly? Praise the Lord, I'm remembering correctly. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms 101:2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. You always behave yourself? Do you do it wisely? And are you doing it in the perfect way? Which is God's way. Are you behaving yourself God's way? This is why we try to teach our young people to respect your elders. And if anybody in authority tells you to do something, you say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Because we want to walk in a perfect way. We want to walk in a wise way. Hallelujah. And so we see, you know, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me, I will walk. And I really, this scripture is powerful. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Whoa. Not talking about the house of God. Talking about your four walls. Talking about, you know, your castle. Talking about where you're living. Where I live. The psalmist said, I'm going to walk in my house with a perfect heart. Now, what's a perfect heart? Well, a perfect heart is a heart that is right with God. How is a heart right with God? When it walks in all the light that it has been shown, then it's a perfect heart. But if I'm willfully disobeying what I know I should be doing, that's not a perfect heart, see? That means we need to arise and begin to pursue perfection fresh and anew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes, how many realize sometimes you do good and sometimes you do bad? Yeah. So what we've got to do is narrow down on the times we do bad. We can't really boast or brag about the times we do good, because any time we do bad, it's null. So we got to start over, fresh and anew, and keep track record. Good, 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 great, good, 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 good. Oh, fair. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Yep, time to start again. Erase the slate. You lost. You failed. Arise. Start. Until it's good, 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 and it never stops. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because that's perfection. So you're striving for it. You're working on it. But if you're not working on perfecting any, well, that's just the way I am areas of our lives. Ooh. Why do you always do that, Brother Pepper? Because I like that saying. That's just the way I am. Well, change it. You don't know how hard it is. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. But I must be in pursuit of perfection. If I know it needs to be changed, then it is my duty to start working on changing it. If I know my tire's flat, I can sit there in my vehicle and leave the motor run and turn on the air conditioner and wish it would air up so I could keep going. Oh, I wish that thing would just gain some air. Maybe the heat will expand it a little bit. You know, and you'd think I was kind of not real with it if I did that, wouldn't you? Well, what do you think God thinks when you won't fix your flat? When you won't change that area, you know is not pleasing to him. He thinks you're just not really with it. Yeah, thank God he's merciful and he's gracious. But sometimes I'm sure he looks at me and just shakes his head. And he thinks, wow, I thought I raised him better than that. Woo, praise God. Amen. Psalms 138:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. You see, he's the one that began the work. He's the one that cleansed. He's the one that washed. And he will continue the work. The Lord will perfect. See, there it's perfect. It's not perfect. It's perfect. In other words, God's doing the perfecting. Luke 6 and 40. The disciple is not above the master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So now we understand really what the Bible wants us to be like when it says, be ye perfect. God wants us to be like his son, Jesus Christ. And he wants us to seek the giver of life, the giver of the spirit, the giver of all. We must seek the giver to be transformed and changed. Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. This is how you're transformed, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So see, I'm perceiving from all these scriptures, from God's word, that it is my responsibility to be in God's word, to renew my mind so that I can think the way God wants me to think, and I think on the things that I should think on, and thus that's bringing transformation and perfection to my life. Yes, it is a process. Yes, sometimes we get so far and fall back and we have to start again. Yes, that is so true. But the thing is if you ever quit pressing towards the prize or perfecting in your life, then you probably won't make heaven. And you will never be victorious, and your light will never shine. And, you know, the Bible, I don't know whether you've ever read it in the Bible where people, when people wag their head, you'll be someone that people see and they just wag their head. Had so much going for them, but they just quit. They just quit serving God. Had so much going for them, but they just wouldn't press on. Oh, so sad. That's what the wagging of the head is. That's what it means when it talks about that in the Bible. It's just like God was there, God was helping, God was strengthening, and then they just quit. Because see, that's the only reason someone will fall, is if they just quit pursuing perfection. Think about it, you may never obtain it, but in the process, you will always find excellence. I like that saying. I may put it on the wall somewhere. It was good. So we're after transformed minds, renewed minds, that we can prove what is good. And the prove means we can show forth. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then Paul, I've always wondered why the writers separated this verse from those last two verses. It's no big deal, because you just keep reading and you see it, but it goes with those other two verses. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Once again, this is my responsibility as a child of God to begin to pursue God's word so that I will know what to cleanse out of my life and what is filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Amen. And perfecting, in other words, getting the fullness of God's holiness as I am fearing God and wanting God's will for my life. And so we see then that's our responsibility, is to find God's word for our lives. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You see, God's about the business of cleansing, sanctifying. But then we've got to be about the business of applying it to our lives. Application. Ephesians 4 and 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here we're finding and perceiving and understanding that it is God's desire, and he has provided ways that we can learn God's word and learn God's ways, and we can move unto a perfect man that is compared to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't know if you understand what that really means. That means everything he is, God wants us to be partakers of it too. I mean, surely you've read in the scripture that we are to be divine, we are to be partakers of the divine nature of our God. Ooh, hallelujah. That's that new creature, that's that new man, hallelujah, that just loves to eat its Cheerios, so to speak. What's that mean? That means they love the word of God with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength, and they are continually in it because they know that's where they are edified and strengthened. Amen. I commend you because you have been very, very kind as we've done this Serious Servants Institute to endure just teaching for an hour. It's been good for you, I'm sure. Praise God. I noticed you all sat pretty still, except one. But anyway, he'll be back. Hallelujah. Praise our God. And so we see then, we move on here. So we've been, God's given us ministers to teach us, train us, with expectation that we will be conformed to the image of Christ, and uses the terminology unto a perfect man. Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. How many will say, I'm already perfect? So we know better than that. Oh, you just woke up and you answered wrong. That's what it was. Yeah. We understand. And the excuse, well, nobody's perfect, is usually just a justification for me doing the wrong that I know I shouldn't be doing. But the reality is, you know, we are striving for perfection, so we're not already perfect. But we are perfect in the sense we're walking, this is what he says here, even in this scripture, as we read on. And not as though I was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So once again, he's emphasizing the responsibility. We use this scripture in our last week's lesson also for desire. Having that desire to press towards the mark. And here we're using it as the reality of our perfection comes as we then fulfill that desire. And we press towards that mark, that high calling of God. And he goes on to say later there in Philippians chapter 3 that I'm supposed to walk unto where I have obtained though. So that's what we mean by no, we're not perfect, completely perfect yet. But we're supposed to be walking in what we know is right and reaching forth to more newness of life in Jesus Christ, on a continual basis. That's one of the things about the altar of incense in the tabernacle. They offered up incense every morning and every evening. And that's a reference to prayer. Prayer. And prayer, when it is really entered into, usually becomes praise. It does. I mean, when we start making our requests made known unto God, we can't help but start praising God. Hallelujah. As our faith begins to rise and we begin to believe God. And so prayer will automatically turn into praise. And that's what that's talking about. So here we're pressing towards the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In pursuit of perfection, it's not really going to be obtained very rapidly if I just do it from time to time. How long do you think it would take a student to graduate from school if they only did work 10 days out of the 136 days they were in school? So how long do you think it will take you to progress in the kingdom of God if you only talk to God 30 days out of 365 days. I'm trying to get you to get a mental picture here. It's every day with Jesus. Gets sweeter as the days go by. Hallelujah. Not every third month with Jesus gets sweeter as the days go by. It's every day with Jesus gets sweeter as the days go by. That is pursuing perfection, and thus you will always end up with excellence. Hallelujah. In other words, your life will be changing for the good. Hallelujah. It'll be changing into the image of Christ. It'll be changing into the attitude of Christ. It'll be changing into the character of Christ. Hallelujah. Wow, I just open up the door wide for a lot more serious servants' teachings. Praise God. Because there's so much in God's Word about being a servant of God and what it takes to be a servant of God and what it takes to grow in God's grace and knowledge. Hallelujah. And so we read on Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, thank God, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Did you notice that? Perfect in every good work to do His will, God's will, working in you that which is well-pleasing to God. And He's going to do it through Jesus Christ, which means as I seek the giver, I'm going to be changed. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. And so we see then it's just, I mean, we've got to be in pursuit of His will, pursuit of what's pleasing to Him, and not just convenient for us. I don't know that you'll find the word convenience in the Bible. Because I really don't find a whole lot of convenience towards the flesh in the Bible at all. I find blessings of the Lord, but sometimes even God's blessings are not real convenient. But they are blessings. Praise God. Don't misunderstand this, but the Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord, a blessing of God. But sometimes you don't count it a blessing. You count it difficult. You count it hard. Oh my. Sometimes you have to endure hardness as a good soldier as you're raising teenagers. I've been there, son. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm praying for you. Glory. I'm praying for them too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm just to let us know, sometimes it's never really going to be convenient to pursue perfection. Because number one, your flesh don't want it. Doesn't want it at all. Sin nature doesn't want perfection. It wants to do just as little as possible of serving God It wants to be the distraction. Oh, man. Brother Pepper, don't go to meddling. I can't help myself. How many are hungry right now? Oh, yeah. Don't let it be a distraction. Don't let your flesh keep you from growing in Jesus Christ because you're hungry. Don't turn me off. Don't get to thinking about what you're going to eat when you get home, or don't get to thinking about there's nothing to eat when I get home. I mean, either one, they're a distraction. Woo! Glory. Teaching's not convenient sometimes. I mean, I had to put this all together. It wasn't convenient at all. It was hard work. Surely it's not hard for you to take a pen and write a few words, is it? Surely not. Surely not. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you work too hard. Although, he wants to make you perfect in every good work to do his will, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. James 1, 2, 3, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Oh, don't you just love that one? And I put a little put to the proof. This is not talking about temptation to sin. This is talking about, hang on, when your patience is being tested. I've been told, and I've heard this saying throughout the years of ministry, and the story was told, you know, about the individual that prayed for patience and all calamity broke loose. And then everybody says, well, never pray for patience, yet the Bible says you need to be patient. So why, how in the world are you not going to pray for patience if the Bible says you got to be patient? And whoa, you're kind of at an inconvenience there. So you might as well go ahead and pray for patience and get ready for the test because the proof's in the pudding. You ever heard that? You know, I mean, you know, if you don't have patience, then you need it. And so then I've got to be in pursuit of it to be that perfect man, to be perfected in that area of my life, because some folks have the patience of Job. I mean, nothing moves them or stirs them. I mean, they're just, oh, yeah, no big deal. God's able. Oh, flat tire? Nah, not a problem. Somebody will fix it. Woo. Sometimes they don't put forth the effort to fix it, but, you know, I mean, somebody will. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, anyway, so here we are. So, count it all joy when you fall into those situations that are proving you to see what you really have. And so what we have to do in those situations, if we realize we don't have it, then we've got to become pursuers of that area of our life to get a transformation going on and a renewing of our mind and a spirit-controlled temperament. We've preached on that. We've taught on that. And so we see then that because they're going to come. And I hate to say this, but if you're always having the same test, it just means you're failing. And it's going to keep coming until you pass it. And then it'll show up as a pop quiz out of the blue. Just, I mean, you've been doing great, been doing good, and all of a sudden a pop quiz is show up. Oh, man, I didn't get it right that time. So do you stop, never try again? Oh, by all means, no. You mark the slate clean, and here we go again. See, it's just part of Christian growth. It's part of growing in the grace and the knowledge. So that temptation is not necessarily a temptation to do evil, as it is a testing and a proving to see what you really have in your Christian life, in your Christian walk. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, a lot of times those situations arise, it's not really the young people's fault. It's just time for your test. Amen. Young people, they just don't realize sometimes, but God does. And God likes to bring that across your path just for your test. Amen. And then young people, it will be your test when you get rebuked for it to see if you're going to conform to the image of Christ. See, it just what goes around comes around. I mean, it's just the cycle. Hallelujah. And when everybody starts passing their test, then we get along fine. Glory. All right, let's move on. Enough for patience. No, it's in the next verse too. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, not lacking in that area. James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want the blessings of God? I mean, do you get mad sometimes? It seems like everybody's getting blessed with but me. Well, look at this scripture and see if you are fulfilling everything this scripture says so you can be blessed. Because that's what it's talking about. Looking into that perfect law of liberty, that's talking about God's word. And continuing therein, in other words, accepting what God shows me. And not forgetting about it, but doing whatever it takes to get it into my life. And God will bless you. That's his promise. See, that's the promise. You know. It's a matter of me doing my part, and when I do my part, God does his by showing me the way. I do mine by walking in that way, and then God turns around and blesses me for it. Wow. That's how the kingdom of God operates. 1 Peter 5:10. This is the last scripture. Doesn't mean I'm closing, but this is the last scripture. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen. I like this one. Settle you. Settle you. In other words, get you right where he wants you, to where he can use you. Settle you. Establish you. Perfect you, strengthen you, settle you, because he wants to use you. He wants to use you. You see, we gotta understand, the only way we can really be used by God is if God is in complete control. There's a multitude of people out there claim Christianity, but they are doing what they want to do for Jesus, and they're not helping the situation at all, because all the men of God's word operated according to the will of God and not the will of operated according to the directive of their Savior Jesus Christ via, through the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. If I'm not in the pursuit of being a servant that is being perfected, then God will not be able to use me the way he wants to use me. It all depends on my cooperation with my God. Are you a good individual? How many is a good patient in the hospital? I've always been on outpatient things, so I've never really had to stay in the hospital. But I've always tried to be a good patient while I was there. Now, I may not be a good patient when I get home, but now I've got to change that for sure, because I just read a scripture that I got to walk in a perfect way in my house. That's right. I mean, I caught that. I don't know whether you did or not, but I caught that. I mean, it just reverbs off these walls all the way right back up here. It's for me. It's for me. I must be in pursuit of perfection. I must be willing to change. I must be up for what God has to say about my life, at this particular point in my life. I've been saved for going on 39 years, and in 39 years, I probably should have changed some more. Actually, I know I should have, because there's things he's talking to me about today. See? So, hey, I'm all about excellence. How about you? Amen. What is that? That's the pursuit of perfection. Amen. I may never attain it, but I will find excellence in that pursuit. That means I will find new character and character change and attitude change and the way I conduct myself, the way I talk. Oh, wow. I could start preaching right now. What kind of vocabulary do you have? Well, if you want the right vocabulary, go read God's Word. It'll show you how to talk English. Praise God. Not slang, not street talk. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo. Man, I had to change the way I preached. Y'all. Wolf. Nobody in the whole wide world knew what I was saying but me. Didn't do me any good to say wolf. They all look at me like, wow, this is a hillbilly. No offense. Y'all, I found out when I started helping teach school that there was a proper vocabulary for the English language. I try to perform it on you from time to time. Praise God. Amen. That's why I like to read my scriptures off my paper here. Praise God, because I just read it like it's written. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Serious Servants Institute, a servant's perfection. It's not an option. It's not the end of the world either. Oh, but it's so hard. Well, you want us to nail you to a cross? You want us to beat you with a cat of nine tails for a little while? And then we'll talk about hard? we whine, we whimper, and what are we doing? We're forgetting the cross of Calvary, and we're forgetting the pain, the anguish, the shame that was done so that I could be free. And then when I won't walk in that freedom, that's why I love that song, "This Is How It Feels to Be Free." Praise God, because it reminds me of Calvary. It reminds me of the price that was paid. This is how it feels to be free. In other words, I don't have to go through that pain, that anguish, but I can endure the hardness of learning the ways of God as a good soldier. Hallelujah. I mean, when you first come to Jesus Christ, sometimes you don't know anything about the ways of God, and a lot of times it's overwhelming. You may think, oh, well, that's way too hard. No, it's not hard at all. No. It just takes surrender. Now, that may be the hard thing, but you find easy surrender, and you'll find things come very easy. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have learned through the years that I am the only one that makes things difficult. Took me a year and a half to get the baptism in the Holy Ghost after I started seeking. Not just a few months. That's all right. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, the reason it took me a year and a half, because I was stubborn. I had to try to figure it out. I had to try to fix it. If I thought it was wrong, I had to try to fix it. Well, maybe that's not the right way. Why do you have to speak in tongues? Why do you have to? Why do you have to? Why do you have to? You don't have to do anything, but the more you find out about yielding to God and letting God have His way in your life, it's not I have to, I wanna. That's where I finally came to. God, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost more than I want to breathe. And He just filled me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Titus, say a word of prayer for us so we can be dismissed.